Rabbi said yesterday we were oimid on very big difficulty. We discussed the whole idea of Yehuda of Yeshua ben Nun sending miraglim into Eretz Yisrael. That lechayra, the whole thing seems to make very, very little logical sense that he should send the miraglim after he saw the failure that happened in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we discussed also what the miraglim did. They went into Mamish, the worst place in all of Eretz Yisrael. They went to Rochav Azoina, the worst place. So what's pshat in that? So it's true. The end, everything worked out. In the end, the miraglim, not only they succeeded, the end is they actually, Rochav Azoina became frum. She was Megaya. And she was Zeicha Eight Nevi'im. Kohanim came out of her. So clearly she had big schusim. According to the Medrash, she married Yeshua ben Nun. So in retrospect, it was good. Right? But that doesn't explain why the Miraglim did it. That was what we were dealing with yesterday. Why would the Miraglim do such a thing? Doesn't seem to make sense. Now I'm going to tell you a kasha. The Dubna Magid asks in Parsha Shlach, by the Parsha of the Miraglim. The Dubna Magid asks, you find the after the Chet of the Miraglim, so the Rabban Hashem immediately tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this whole generation is going to die out in the Midbar, right? Anybody from 20 to 40, they're all dying out in the Midbar, and this whole door is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Zulosi kol ben Yifune, Yishu ben Nun. But except for individuals, the generation is going to die out in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael do tshuva, if you remember. You remember that? It says they come to Moshe Rabbeinu the next day, and they say, we chotonu, we want to do tshuva. So they regret what they did. Now we know normally there's a rule, shari tshuva lo ninalo. You can always do tshuva. So Klal Yisrael decide they want to do tshuva. It's the only time we find in Chumash where Mamish the door gets slammed on their faces. Where Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you're not going to be Matzliach, and then the Nephilim they taka went and they got killed out. There was a group that wanted to do the right thing. Let's go into Eretz Yisrael. We made a mistake. We should have listened to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. We should have listened to Yeshua and Kalev. We're going to go in. And the end is that they get killed out. They get killed out because Moshe told them not to go. So the Dubna Magid asks, what's going on here? They did tshuva. Where do we find that the gates of tshuva are closed? Doesn't make sense. So the Dubna Magid gives a gewaldige moshe when he answers this question. So I want to build on what he says. The Dubna Magid's moshel in Parsha Shlach is, he says there was once a Rav, and the Rav had a son. The son was a Metsuyan. There was a very wealthy man in town. He had a daughter, very nice girl. So somebody made the Shidduch, the Rav's son, with this wealthy person's daughter, and they got engaged. And as they're getting closer to the chasana, the rich man calls the Rav. He says, listen, Rabbi, what are you going to be giving into the marriage financially? The rabbi said, listen, I don't have what to give. I don't have money. He said, you can't get away with nothing. You have to pay something. He said, I don't have. Push, I don't have money. I can't. I have nothing to give. He says, no deal. I'm sick and tired of people taking advantage of me. I'm the guy with the money. Everybody takes advantage of me. Bill Gates yesterday wrote several editorials. Could be he wrote one and it made its way in many, many publications. His tightness on Elizabeth Warren for wanting to take away all his money. She wants to take like $100 billion of his $106 billion away from him. I don't think it's quite that amount, but I think he himself said he's a big magazine. But Stop. If you make a plan that's going to cost the $60 trillion, $50 trillion, you have to come up with the money from somewhere. So Bill Gates is definitely a good guy to fundraise. If you need to fundraise that kind of money, Bill Gates is the, you know, you're not coming to me for that. So, this Kavir said, I'm sick of being taken advantage of. So he told the Rav, you got, either you got to give something, or I'm canceling the Shidduch. Okay? Zok to Duba the Magid, the Shidduch broke up, the boy went on his way, the girl went on her way, and a couple of months later, the girl gets engaged to the Amoritz in town. Big Amoritz, the son of an Amoritz, you know, Prust. Anyway, he sees his daughter engaged, he sees the kind of treatment his daughter is getting. He says, I don't want my daughter married to this guy. The Rav's son, he was, Mom is such a wonderful person. He's treating my daughter with malchus. He broke up the engagement. So the second time around, the wealthy guy broke up the engagement with Amoritz. Now he calls back the Rav. He says, Rabbi, my daughter got engaged to this Amoritz. I saw the way. I'm asking, let's go back to the deal. Let them get engaged again. You don't have to give a penny. The Rav said, no, it's too late. So to do the market, too late. It's too late. So the Rav says, listen, I have a son. My son is a diamond. You have to want my son for who he is. If you don't value him as a diamond, I'm not interested. Elamai, your daughter then got engaged to Amoritz, and you saw what kind of maneuver he was. You said, okay, instead of that maneuver, I'd rather have this. It's not going to go. Can't have a marriage like that, that the whole marriage is riding on the fact that he's not a maneuver like the other guy. You didn't have the value of him for who he was. Zokte Dubin Magid. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Chemda. It's a land that has, it's very hard. Eretz Yisrael is not easy to conquer. Not easy to hold on to. Till today it's like that. It's not Poshet. Right? But it has to be an Eretz Chemda. It has to be a land, we say in Benching, right? Eretz Chemda Tev Rechova. Has to be you want it. If you want it, then maybe you'll be able to have it. But if you're only taking Eretz Yisrael as a better of the two evils, it's not going to work. Zok to Dubin Magid, the Nephilim, when they came to Moshe after the Meraglim, they came to Moshe and said, we don't want to die out in the desert. If that's the choice, we want to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's not going to work. That Shidduch is not going to work. You can't take Eretz Yisrael because you don't want the alternative. The only way you'll be able to get Eretz Yisrael is if the reason why you're taking it is because you realize the chshivas of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Dubin Magid. According to this Dubin Magid, I said I understand very well why Yeshua Ben Nun sent the Meraglim again. Why? Because really, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim the first time, we really weren't Roy. We taka weren't Roy for Eretz Yisrael yet. We taka. It wasn't enough of an Eretz Chemda. Yeshua Ben Nun now had to see. Let's go. Let's try the Shidduch out. The Meraglim were necessary. The Meraglim came back. They were positive. Klal Yisrael were positive. Oh, now we can go in. So that's the Dubin Magid. That's the Hagdoma. But I think that the Maskona you have to understand is another thing. And this is very important to remember. Rabbi Aryeh Levine, Tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Aryeh Levine used to daven by the in a certain, next to a certain home. Nobody knew why. He had a whole Seder of Tehillim that he would say in a certain home in Yerushalayim. He would go to this particular building, and he would daven outside over there. One day his Edom, Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, who you all heard of, asked him, he said, he asked the Shver, why is it that you have this Seder of Tehillim that you do dafka by this home? So he told him an unbelievable thing. He said that this particular place where he used to daven in Yerushalayim, There were two families that lived in this. It was like a little building with two families in it. Two families lived in this building. Rabbi Levine said when the building was built and these two families were about to move in, they decided between themselves they're not moving in. They're not moving in. Why? There's an old minhag. Chassidim do this a lot. That before you move into a new house, you want to get rid of the shadim. They bring chickens. There's all kinds of different minhagim. These are all stuff that I'm not very big into, but these are things that some people do. So Rabbi Levine said, he remembered that this building, after it was built, with these two apartments, it was like a little villa. They didn't move in. They didn't move in for a year. You hear? They built the apartment for themselves, two apartments. The two families decided they're not moving in for a year. And other people lived there. For a year, other people lived there. Rabbi Levine said he checked, he found out what happened. When they built the apartments, they decided that they want that their home should be a home of chesed. So one way is, you have guests, you get stuck. He said, no. We're going to find two families that don't have a place to live. And they're going to live there first. So that we will know that our home, the first, the Chanukas Habayis, was that somebody who's in the street is living in our house, not us. Then, the Lashon Rabbi Levine said, once the chesed is arangizapt in the walls, in the ventel, once the chesed is in the walls, then we'll move into the house. That was the history of this building. The family was, the two families were cousins of the Shmulevitz, the famous Chaim Shmulevitz, of this building. Rabbi Levine said, Oilam chesed yibani. He says the tefillahs were answered better when he davened next to that building. That's what the chesed turuf. A lot, what happens in life, these two families, what they did, is very yesodistic. Because a lot what happens in life is based on how you structure it to begin with. How you set it up to begin with. When I deal with a couple when they first get married and they come to me, they say, we want Hadracha to have a good marriage. It's a different world than when I have to deal with a couple who's living together 10 years, machlokes. A couple that comes to me from day one and says, teach us how to live together in harmony. The shtel avekt home. The chesed is like, the sholem is in the ventel. It's in the walls of the house. There's peace. Everything goes by how you shtel avek. How you set something up. Once you set it up wrong, it's a different world. Elisha ben Avuya said that his father had the wrong kavana by his bris. And that impacted his whole life. Because your bris is your foundation. That's the foundation of who you are. Right? This is so true in life. So many times people have different, they make terrible mistakes. But if you go back, if you look where it started, they established themselves wrong. They established themselves wrong. You know how many people come to me, Gnevis and all kinds of things, when the whole business was established the wrong way. The whole business was established the wrong way. They have problems, they have terrors. I dealt with a guy in my community once, terrible, Shalom Bayis, terrible. The end is Rahman al-Slan, whatever, he was involved with somebody else, outside of his marriage. So when I was working with him, after it happened, his whole mode of operation was one that could have never succeeded. He got married. He worked 300-400 miles away from his wife. Came back home every Shabbos, every other Shabbos. Basically, he didn't live with his wife. He didn't live with his family. And then the unthinkable things happened afterwards. But it was the way he established himself. If he would have told me from day one, I would have told him, not because I'm a Novi, and not because I'm a Chochem. If you establish your home that way, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. When we send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael, they're not just people going to Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim were there to set us up. How are we going to establish Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld has a beautiful vort. Kedai to absorb this vort. He says that we know that Klal Yisrael took stones. They carried stones into Eretz Yisrael. Those stones they wrote. They wrote this, the whole Torah in 70 languages, right? On the stones. If you think about it, I used to teach in a yeshiva where they had a stone there. Big stone under the Aron Kodesh. This stone was brought from Israel. I happen not to like those things, even though I could. It's a nice thing. I'm not saying it's not a nice thing. I don't like to take anything out of Eretz Yisrael. I don't like to leave it in Eretz Yisrael. Stone of Eretz Yisrael, let it stay in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'ilim b'kodesh v'loy megid. So I'm not big into taking a stone out of Eretz Yisrael. But that's my own. Maybe it's a mishigas. My own hargosha. But for sure, if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to be writing the Torah in 70 languages, write it on Jerusalem stone. Were you taking Syrian stones to write Torah in Eretz Yisrael? It's a modern nazach. It's not my kasha. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. You're schlepping chutz la'aretz rocks to write the Torah? Imagine a guy puts on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. He's an Israeli. His father contracted a Lebanese sofer from Lebanon. A ger, he's a ger, he's Jewish. He used to be an Arab, but he's no problem. He's kosher to write him. He tells us, Bar Mitzvah, these tefillin, they came from Lebanon. Shugin Kapagayim. Pakistan, yes. You want Pakistanian tefillin? Are they kosher 100%? Nothing wrong with Pakistanian tefillin, as long as they're written by Eid. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you don't bring tefillin. If you're in America, you say, I got an Eretz Yisrael to decipher, for whatever that's worth. Okay? I'm not saying I would spend extra money on that. I'd rather give money to Tztoka, but Shine, you're bringing stones from Chutz Laretz to write the Sefer Torah, to write the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Zocht Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, like Gval de Gavors. And I, whenever I say over this Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I say it over with an example. Imagine a guy is going to Hong Kong. He has a business trip. A big closing he's doing in Hong Kong. Trump Tower in Hong Kong. Okay? Big Trump Tower in Hong Kong closing. That attorney that's flying to Hong Kong for 48 hours to do the closing, he brings the contract along in his suitcase. He may forget his toothpaste. He may forget his toothbrush. Right? He may forget his toothbrush. But he's not forgetting the contract. Listen, in Hong Kong, you can pick yourself up a contract. You can. I'm going to Hong Kong for this closing. I'm going with the contract. That's why I'm doing this trip. So whatever's essential, you may forget your headphones. You'll pick up a headphones over there. But you're not forgetting the contract. The contract is why you're going. You don't leave home without the contract. You got to be an Amoritzkom. I remember my father was teaching science in Spring Valley Junior High School. So one year, the subject, they were learning about space and this. And one of the questions on the test was, if you go up to space, what do you take with you? My father came home one night. I remember I was sitting by supper. I was a little kid. He said, you want to know what one of my hilarious answers on this question? He said a television and his dog and something else. That's what he's taking up to the moon. So they could all die over there together. No oxygen, nothing. Right? You say everybody, and you know, if you go to the moon, you take what you need for the moon. And even if there's some place to stop in the middle to pick up some oxygen before you need it, you don't do that. Dr. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, our job in Eretz Yisrael was to be miyasid the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. To be an Or LaGoyim. To be a light to the whole world. We have to write the Sefer Torah and we have to build it into the ground. Those stones we took with us so that we could internalize, that's why we're going. It's not we're going to get there and stop by and pick up some stones. This is why we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld took it to his whole shita that you can't establish Eretz Yisrael not without Torah. I don't have to tell you what he took this where he took this vart, but that was his idea. The Meraglim's job was to establish to establish why we're going to Eretz Yisrael. How we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was a needed mission that had to be done. Comes the Ozra Verov, the Bear Moshe, and he says, that's why they went to Rochav Hazayin. Listen what he says. He says, Inyan Godol V'omoik Yeshkan. The Milchemes Yeshua who be'ikr Milchoma Ruchni. When we went into Eretz Yisrael, this was a spiritual thing. We weren't just capturing land. We chose to transform Eretz Yisrael to a place of holiness. That was our job. That was our mission. We're not going there just to make a state. We're going there to spiritualize the place. He says, and as the Pasuk says, Kemase Eretz Kenan Hashem Yisrael Loisas. Hashem took us to Eretz Yisrael to change Eretz Yisrael. Not to keep it status quo. To change Eretz Yisrael. That was our job. He says, therefore, Hoyutzrichim Lachnia Ulevatel Kol Atum Shel Eretz Yisrael. Alkeino Yosiba Mishamayim Sheyavoyu L'Rochav Hazayna Shehi Hoysam Mekor Atume. She, Rochav Hazayna, was the symbolism of the Tumah of Eretz Yisrael. And they went and she got changed. That was the beginning of their task, of what their job was, he says. And therefore, he says, V'lochein itzlichu shnei tzadikim eilu l'asa shlichusam. And then he goes on to who Rochav Hazayna, what she had. She married Yeshua ben Nun. She had Nevi'im. So basically what the Meraglim did was they set up, they established why we're going to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to Eretz Yisrael to be an influence on the entire world, to change the world. That's where we're going. And Dafka, he says, Min Shemayim, it's Mashma, he learned that they didn't pick Rochav Hazayna. Shemayim put them there. But Shemayim put them there to show them what their mission was. This was their mission. Their mission was to transform what all the tumah, whatever was there, to tahara. So it gives us definitely a better understanding. The set miraglim are necessary. Miraglim basically means you're establishing what you're going in. It has to be positive. The first time around it was negative. The second time around, but it was needed. It wasn't something that Yeshua ben Nun risked. It had to be done. The difference is that now it was done positively. Okay.
On the story of making the walls of Chesed, making them, the story of Reb Chaim Shalevitz says in his Sefer Shiras Musar on.